Oh, yes. Check your clock, because it is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. Did you hear that? Did you hear somebody? My name is Tobe. What? My name is Tobe, and I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm pretty proud of it. Now, let's see if our sergeant at arms is anywhere. Oh, I think I found our sergeant at arms for our committee. Who is this? Who's this? Yeah, you're a baby, huh? Yeah, I know what you want. You think you want to go outside, don't you? I don't think we should go outside. It's very cold out again today. Well, I guess it's not that cold. It's a little bit of both freezing. What do you think about that? It's like 2 degrees Celsius. Or maybe 1 degree. What, you don't know metric? And she says, how much is that in kitty degrees? Oh, I don't know how to do the kitty conversion. Yeah, because I don't know how to do math problems, says a kitty. Don't you know how to do some algebra? Kitty says, no, I'm not doing any algebra. Kitty says, I'm not gonna do no algebra. I don't care what X equals, because I'm a cat. You're a kitty, huh? Yeah, rub your face on the microphone. Yeah, you own it. Are you gonna talk anymore or not? Are you gonna be Radio Kitty or not? Apparently not. No, I don't want to be Radio Kitty today. That's so nice. Well, you can't go outside because there's snow on there and you'll just get frozen kitty toes. We're not going to have any frozen kitty toes. Okay, see you later. I'm going downstairs. Because that's where the tea is. Have I drank any tea today? I don't think I have. I just got up. Well, not just got up. It's been about half an hour. And I got up a little bit late today. Did I stay up all that late? No, I slept pretty good, I guess. I don't know. I can't explain it. But most importantly, here's the tea. Oh, it's good. Oh, yummy. Mm-hmm. Ooh, hot. Good. Yummy. Delicious. Okay, so here I am. Sitting in front of my TV, which is tuned to one of the music channels. Of course, the light classical channel. And it occurred to me last night that I could listen to jazz if I wanted to. You know, jazz. So why do I have jazz on the brain? Well, I'll tell you here in a second. First, let's see where my jazz channels are. God, I only got two. Smooth jazz and jazz. Okay, smooth jazz. It's time to get your smooth groove on. These bright and tuneful melodies are your key to creating a light and joyous atmosphere. That was horrible. I love listening to people write about music or read people write about music who don't know anything about music because they write the most ridiculous things like that. Now let's see the description for the jazz channel. Take a musical journey and experience the true essence of jazz with tracks that highlight its rich history and culture. Wow. There's a very long sentence with two... Wait, I'm not even going to get into analyzing that sentence. That's a lot of empty words. That's a long sentence with multiple phrases that means absolutely nothing. Take a musical journey and experience the true essence of jazz with tracks that highlight its rich history and culture. You could use that sense to describe anything. Just substitute musical and jazz and tracks, I suppose. Take a blank journey and experience the true essence of blank with blank that highlights its rich history and culture. Okay, you can use that to describe a food channel. I'll say the same sentence, but I'll just change those three key words. Take an epicureal journey and experience the true essence of food that ingre that with ingredients that highlight its rich history and culture. Okay. You can use that for any language, any spoken language. Take a linguistic journey and experience the true essence of Spanish with dialogue that highlights its rich history and culture. Okay. You can say you can say the same thing about art. Take an artistic journey and experience the true essence of Picasso with paintings that highlight its rich history and culture. It's the most generic Mad Lib sentence ever. You could use this sentence to describe the show you're listening to right now. Take a dubious journey and experience the true essence of goals with a committee that highlights its rich history and culture. That's a great one. Oh, holy crap. Oh, you know, it's funny as I remember. Back when I was a child, I discovered I could write this way, and I could just fill pages with entire BS. Language. It is a poor communications device because it can be used inappropriately. Very into this tea. But why am I into jazz? Well, last night I was watching YouTube, as I am apt to do, especially at night when there's nothing else on regular TV. And I had been watching some really mindless stuff, some real lowbrow brain pablum, just gruel for the brain, just crappy stuff, one ear out the other. What was I watching? Things like top five celebrities who are nice in real life. Okay, right? And after a while, I'm like, why am I watching this stupid crap? Why am I watching, you know, something slightly more intellectual? Because I'm smart. And I thought, oh, I need some stimulus. I need some stimulus. And then I remembered, hey, what was that thumbnail that came up the other day? I wanted to watch it, but I watched something else first, and then when I came back to the menu, it was gone, and blah, blah, blah. Because I remember seeing this video, and the video had a title something like, something to the, along the lines of the song all jazz musicians fear, or the one song all jazz musicians dread to play, or something like that, right? And I knew almost exactly what they were talking about as soon as I saw it. And the little thumbnail image is the circle of fifth, and there's a little black and white image of a guy in the middle with apparently holding a saxophone. And you know, I see that and I'm like, okay, I know exactly what that is. That's Coltrane changes. You know, that's tritone substitution or tritone modulation, whatever you want to call this. Some people know it as giant steps. So he drinks more tea. So when I got done watching one of my favorite 15 celebrities you didn't know were going bald. Actually, I did know. It's pretty obvious. I thought, oh, I want to find that video. See what that video was about. I wonder, how am I going to find that? How am I going to look that up? So I went to the little search function, and I started punching in letters. And I just put in Coltrane, ch. Coltrane space CH. I was going to, you know, just type in Coltrane changes. And of course, there's a whole category. So that pops up. I go over to that, select that. And yeah, sure enough, the video I was looking for, it's the first one in the list. Then there's this list of all these other cool things that got my attention. You know, there's a video titled The Coltrane Fractal and something giant steps, something else, and this, that, and the other thing. But so I checked out this first video, the one that I was looking for. Wow, what a good video. Good production value, professionally made. And it's basically this woman narrating this. She doesn't understand giant steps. She wants it explained to her. She finds a couple of jazz guys. Yeah, jazz guys. I am not a jazz guy. But I can kind of talk jazz. I'm not really, really up on it. But I know enough about jazz and jazz terminology that I can ask intelligent questions and jazz guys won't think I'm an idiot. You know, jazz guys don't expect every other musician to be able to play certain things. But if you act like an idiot, you'll get treated like an idiot. But if you're smart enough to know what's going on and you can ask the right questions, jazz guys, like all other music guys, will explain it to you. They will help you. Because they want you to be able to do it too. So I'm watching this video, and sure enough, this video, the most dreaded song in the world to play for jazz guys. Of course, it's the song Giant Steps. And this video is, in fact, about the Coltrane changes. And I thought this video was so great that I actually watched it twice. And I will watch it again today, just so I can get this cemented into my head so that I can explain it to other people. That's how I know when I understand something. If I can explain it to somebody else who doesn't get it, then I know that, yeah, I got it. So I watched this video and it was great. And it really didn't tell me anything I didn't already know, but it put it in such a great way. And it talked about some other stuff, especially the fifth and blah, blah, blah. And it did actually explain one thing that I didn't understand. And that is how the key changes work in Giant Steps. Giant Steps is a song by John Coltrane, the late great jazz saxophonist. And he wrote this song. It's incredible. It has always blown my mind because I never could understand it as a kid. And I probably didn't understand it until I was 30 years old. But then again, you know, I never really studied jazz. So this was all just stuff that I learned, picked up on my own. And so it's taken me a while to understand what Giant Steps is. And Giant Steps are the Coltrane changes, which is, how do I explain it? Which is this chord progression that is sort of wacky and weird. Because it goes around to the circle of fifths in a different way, in an unusual way. Good tea. And it still raises a question in my mind. You know, I'm a guy, I'm used to playing my musical instrument, and I play a chord, and I play that chord for 2 bars, or 4 bars, or even 8 bars or more, before changing to another chord. And that's the one thing that annoys me about jazz, is because they have to change chords twice in a single bar. That's right, every 2 beats they have to change the damn chord. Oh, jazz. 271. the formula for jazz is 2-7-1 as opposed to 1-4-5 for, you know, pop music. Oh, who's this? Who's this rubbing her head against my shoulder? Now I gotta get into the kitty position. Get the blankie ready. So the funny thing is for about the last, I don't know, couple of decades, I can listen to Giant Steps by John Coltrane. I think it's on the album, Giant Steps. Yeah, it's the first track. Get in there, cat. There you go. And the funny thing is I can follow Giant Steps for the first... When I first started listening to Giant Steps, you know, I could listen to, like, the first three bars. Or not three bars, but, like, the first three chord changes. And I go, okay, this makes sense. And then it changes key. And it doesn't change into any key that you would expect it to change into. The thing you got to understand about music is when you're playing music, it's going somewhere. And after a while, you just get where it's going. You know where it's going. And jazz is about, okay, let's find the weird way to get there. Okay, we're going to start here. We're going to try to end up here. How are we going to get there? Well, with folk music... With your basic folk music song, you know, you're starting on the same chord, you're playing the same chord throughout the song, you're ending on that chord. It's a straight line. It's like walking to your neighbor's house. Do, 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 do. You're just walking. And then there's like pop music and other folk music that change chord once. You know, you go from the tonic to the fifth and back. So it's like, okay, you walk to the store, you walk back home, no problem. Then you have pop music where you go from home to the bank to the store and then back home. Okay. Now, jazz is like, how do I explain it? First, you go over to your neighbor's house, then you go to the drugstore, then you go to the donut store next to the drugstore, then you drive across town to go to the record store. And then when you're at the record store, you go next door to get your hair cut. And then you drive clear across town again to go to the shopping mall. Then you go to 8 different stores in the shopping mall before you leave the shopping mall to go to, I don't know, Walmart. And then you go home. Okay, that's jazz. So the thing that watching this video helped me understand is you know, there's this sort of graphical bit where they're just going, okay, look, he's just going 2-7-1, 2-7-1, 2-7-1, 2-7-1. Well, there's a bunch of, you know, 5-1, 5-1, 5-1 in there, but it's the changing of the keys that is sort of explained in a graphical, visual way that I can understand. And I'm like, okay, yes, I get it. It's all come together for me now. I conceptually understand the idea behind Giant Steps by John Coltrane. The Coltrane changes. Okay, that does not mean that I can play this. This does not mean I can play Giant Steps. Yes, I can play the chords to Giant Steps. No problem. But that's not what jazz is all about. You know, once you go through the progression once, okay, here's the chords. Now it's everybody's turn to improvise and improvise over this crazy ass chord progression. Now, you've heard me improvise on instruments here plenty of times. You know, all these instruments I make, it's all I do is I improvise on them. But when I do this, there is no key changing going on at all. Okay? There's no chord progression. There's no key changes. There's nothing. And so it blows my mind to listen to guys like Coltrane improvise over Giant Steps, over the Coltrane changes, over this crazy, crazy chord progression that I want to say it's unnatural. But it's not unnatural. It just feels different to somebody who's used to staying in a single key. Yes, I understand the chord changes. Yeah, I can do 2-7-1. I can do 1-4-5. I can do 1-2-4-5. You know, I can do all that no problem. And that's a very natural and easy thing for me to do. My brain is such that I will just change chords. And I know when the chord changes are coming because they're coming every four bars because that's the standard way to do it. No, not in jazz. We got to change chords twice in a single goddamn bar. That means after four bars, we've already changed chords eight times and they're all different. And to make it worse, they're weird jazz chords. Okay, Tobe likes normal chords. I like chords like G. That's a good chord. That's the best chord ever. D, also a great chord. C, no problem. These are all major chords. They're simple to play. I can do it with just two fingers on my Irish bouzouki. Jazz guys like chords that have names like E flat minor suspended plus major 7th 13th. Okay, first of all, that's too many notes. You don't need... You gotta understand, I am kind of joking here. This is comedy. You don't need that many notes in a chord. To have a chord, you really only need to have three notes. That's the minimum amount of notes to define a chord. No, but is that good enough for jazz guys? No, especially piano jazz guys. Oh, I got 10 fingers. I should put 10 different notes in this chord. Pachang! Okay, that's jazz guy. Jazz guy is the guy who wants to put six notes in his chord, but he only has five fingers on one hand. How is he going to play that chord? Okay, that's what jazz guys worry about. So, when I listen to people improvise over the Coltrane changes, this weird tritone modulation, the funny thing is now I can identify it. I'm at the point in my life and my musical ability that I can hear this. And so when I hear, doesn't matter what key it's in, it's like, okay, Coltrane changes. Okay, tritone stuff. I can hear it. I can identify it. But that does not mean I can play it. And that annoys the hell out of me because I can listen to any other kind of music. I can listen to any music on the radio, anything you can play me. And in my head, or, you know, I can actually sing improvisational lines over those chord progressions. I don't ever even have to hear the song, you know, previous to doing this. I just understand music at that weird level, at that weird intuitional level where, yeah, okay, I get it. I understand it up to a point. And so it becomes very natural for me to be able to improvise melodic lines and phrases over certain chord progressions. These are very simple chord progressions. The chord progressions we've been hearing all of our lives, like, you know, 1-4-5. So when it comes to listening to jazz, especially Giant Steps, Coltrane, I want to know what it feels like to play this, to be able to improvise over these changes, because I understand how it feels to improvise over other stuff, and that's how I understand it. When I say how it feels, I mean, gosh, I don't know what I mean. I don't know how do I describe it. What my brain is feeling as I'm going through these motions. Like, when I'm playing a song or I'm improvising over something, I know ahead of time where I want to go because I know what's coming. And it follows a certain sort of pattern linguistically, if music is a language, that, yeah, God, this is really hard to explain. And there's like one jazz guy listening going, no, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Keep going. You've almost got it. It's hard to explain. You know, there's certain muscle memory involved. You know, I know, oh, I'm going to be going here, there, or the other where, and when I get there, I can get there by going to here, and then I can get to the next place by doing this. And so you get this feeling. There's this weird pattern. And I'm dying to know, what does that feel like for something as odd as the Coltrane changes? Because you're changing key every, like, two bars. You're going through these sort of standard chord progressions inside the keys that you're playing. It's what I want is a magical ring that I can make a wish on. And I'd wish, gee, I wish I could just improvise over Giant Steps. I wish I could play Giant Steps. And then I would play it, and then I would know how it feels. But in order to do that, since there are no magic wishing rings, I'm going to have to go to some kind of stupid college, and they're going to have to say, oh, you have to do this. Make me, bitches. Yeah, so after watching that convenient video explaining, I started watching other jazz things, and I found this guy. What's his name? Adam Neely. And he is, not only is he jazz guy, he is academic jazz guy. He's double degree jazz guy from famous music schools. And I was watching him talk about stuff, and I even watched him review the movie Whiplash, which I have seen, and I kind of liked it. Will I watch it again? I don't know. I did find some weird parts in it, in Whiplash, where I went, wait, what? That can't be right. And yeah, okay, so I'm watching jazz guy Adam Neely sort of pick it apart, saying, well, this is weird for him to say that. I'm like, I caught that too, and I'm not even jazz guy. Oh my God, I'm starting to wonder, am I turning into jazz guy? Am I jazz guy yet? I'm obviously not jazz guy yet. Am I 10% jazz guy? I don't know. I have this weird sort of intellectual understanding about some aspects of jazz. And I can hear it, and I can identify it. That doesn't mean I can play it. That sort of annoys me. But what the hell are these guys doing? Changing chords twice in one bar. And nobody needs 7-4 time signature. 9-8 is not an appropriate time signature. 7-4, that is not an appropriate time signature. So, jazz guys. Okay, so let's have the stupidest time signature we can think of. Like 7-4, seven beats to a measure, and then let's change chords twice in that measure. Well, where the hell are you going to change? You got seven beats. You're going to change on the third beat? You're going to change on the fourth beat? Yeah, obviously, chord one on the first beat. One, two, three, and you got seven. So where the hell are you going to change? On the third or the fourth beat? Where's the pattern? It doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's like Take Five by Brubeck, okay? How? Where's the emphasis? Where's this? Where the hell's the backbeat if you've got a goddamn odd numbered times? Now I want to go punch jazz guys. It's a good thing there's no jazz guys around here right now. Anyway. So I watched a bunch of jazz stuff. And I watched this guy, Adam Neely. And when I was watching a different video of his, he mentioned some interesting things about improvisation. And I'm like, oh, dude. And now I want to, like, have this guy give me a 15-minute lecture on improvisation just so I can improve my improvisational abilities when I'm playing my, you know, fruitcake sitar thingy or any of my other stuff. Maybe I should get back into music. Maybe I should become jazz guy. No, I'm not going to become jazz guy, because then I got to spend $8 million so I can go to super music school. Adam Neely, he went to Berkeley and somewhere else, and he's got 2 degrees. Really? You need degrees? You need college degrees to be jazz guy? I don't want to be jazz guy. I just want to be Tobe, the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day right here on and on radio. Tune in tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. As for me, I'm going to listen to some more jazz. I'm going to listen to some Coltrane, Giant Steps, and I'm going to listen to India and a whole bunch of other live crap. So, bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
Podcast.